nonsense made up by people that wanted to add something to Scripture and added something that's entirely different than Scripture would say. All right, now let's see some of the things that you have. You have him seen, as we saw in his childhood, you have him seen at birth. Now, everybody knows that. That's what happened at the Christmas time, only the Christmas was probably April. One thing we know, that it wasn't December. The first time December was reckoned to be the birth date of Christ was around the 4th century. They never observed Christmas December the 25th, the first three centuries. It was either November or April, we know that, because shepherds were in the fields and had bonfires, and in that country they only did it in the fall or in the spring, which is their cold weather. And so it was either April or in November. I opt for April. It really doesn't make any difference. The fact he did it, all right? But just to disabuse your file, that April or December the 25th was it. There was actually, in the first three centuries, there was 28 different dates proposed as the birth of Christ. And none of them was December 25th. The first time was one of the popes declared that would be the date, and it was about 400, right around there. 375, I think the date was. All right? Now you see him as a child born. And let's look in the second chapter of Luke, where you have this. And here you have him born in a very unusual way. Now, the hometown of Mary and Joseph was Nazareth, not Bethlehem. You can see that in Luke 2, verse 4. So, if things had gone normally, if everything had gone as proposed, Christ would have been born in Nazareth. But there was a prophecy, he had to be born in Bethlehem. And God arranged the events this way. He caused one of the rulers, because he had need of money, to want to tax everybody. And to do that, they had to register. Kind of the early IRS. There was no postal service to get things all fouled up, so they had to come personally and register, you see? All right, now notice what it says. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all of the inhabited earth should be taxed. That's the Roman Empire inhabited earth, and especially this part of the Roman Empire. That word world there is inhabited earth. It's a different word. You have a margin, you see that. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. This was where his antecedents were, where his family line came from. All right? And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Now his antecedents went back to David, so he had to go down to Bethlehem. Now Mary had to go along. There was no way. You see, they had to be taxed. The Roman government didn't care whether you're pregnant or not. And so Mary went along. She had to go along to be obedient to the government. And she went along very heavy with child. Now, quite undoubtedly, that bull ride of about 80 miles would have hastened the birth. See? All right? Now, we had an occasion where we moved, 3 weeks before Linda was born, and she was born a little early because of that. My wife drove a car and pulled a trailer all the way from Arizona up to Junction City. I drove another car and pulled a trailer, and it was just 3 weeks before Linda was born. She was born just a little early because of that, because it hastened the birth, you see? All right, now quite probably this happened with Mary. This hastened the birth a little bit. And so Christ was born in Bethlehem. All right, now I preached a sermon not long ago. It wasn't too big, bad a deal. Remember on a Christmas myths, it wasn't bad that Christ was born in a manger. It was a blessing, really. Everybody feels so sorry for him. Well, if they had Holiday Inns and Motel Sixes in those days, I'd feel sorry for him too. But that isn't the way the inns were. People were sleeping on the stairway in the hall and 8 or 10 people in a room. It was a godsend that he was born in a manger, a clean straw stall. So don't feel so sorry. All right? It was God's provision. It was best. And if my wife were pregnant in a case like that, I'd want to go down the basement too. I don't believe in all the neighbors watching the birth of my children. All right? And that's the way the inns were. If you don't doubt it, well, you know that within 100 years ago, they used to rent hotel beds by the hour and kick you out by the hour in the frontier, the western. And they'd rent it to four or five men at the same time, and they were strangers. Read about our frontier. That was in this country not over 100 years ago. So you can imagine 2,000 years ago what an inn was like. Don't read our beautiful holiday inns back there. But people do, you know. All right, so it was a real blessing they was born like. It was a quietness, only the lowing of the cattle. There was clean straw. There weren't people running in and out and yelling and falling and sleeping all over the place. It was all right. But you see, you like to live. We like to live and everything. Like, we like to think people had windows back there. They asked, they made it in jewelry, and it was very, very expensive. They didn't have windows. In fact, you've seen some old houses around about 100 years old, and you know what the windows look like? They're all contorted, because even glass making 100 years ago wasn't very appropriate as an art. So here's it. Now then, you'll notice he was born, and you notice he's called a Brephos, down the 12th verse. A Brephos, that's going to be important. This is a newly a young, very small, just born baby. And he was wrapped in rags that were torn up to make his clothes because she wasn't expecting the birth. This is why I told you it was probably hastened. She didn't bring the diaper bag along because she wasn't expecting the little guy yet. And so they had to tear rags up. That's what swaddling clothes is. And make some children's clothes. So his first Bib and Tucker was torn up rags. That shows that she wasn't expecting this birth. See, I told you I had some reasons for saying this, all right? Or she'd have brought the diaper bag, the layette long. You know? All right, now here you have a little babe. Now, what happened here? Well, there's two possibilities. It's quite possible in those days, if you've read anything about people in those days, for instance, the Indians in this country, a woman would give birth while they were on a trail marching. She'd give birth, wipe up the child, and start marching right along with people. They didn't lay around for 8 or 10 days in the hospital, and they didn't back here either. So it's quite possible they went back to Nazareth. They didn't stay in Bethlehem. All right? But at 8 days of age, they were back in Jerusalem. They had to come to Jerusalem. Not to Bethlehem, to Jerusalem, so that Christ could be circumcised, all right, by a priest in the temple in Jerusalem. Okay? Now you get that over in the 21st verse. So we see him at 8 days. Now there's several possibilities. You know Bethlehem is very close to Jerusalem. They could have stayed in Bethlehem 8 days, but no longer, and then gone back to Nazareth. We'll see him in Nazareth, and then at 40 days they come back again for the rites of Mary. And then they go back to Nazareth. And that's where the wise men found him. They didn't find him in Bethlehem. I'll show you the difference in words. And entirely different words. Okay? Now notice the 21st verse. And this again proves he had a real humanity, a real human body. We didn't mention it, but you can see that here. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. All right, so you have it 8 days, he was circumcised, Jewish custom, and the priest had to do that. The priest had an awful lot of chores. I'm glad I'm not a priest in Israel. Had to be a slaughterhouse merchant. You had to be able to kill animals deftly, cleanly, and rapidly, because they were lined up out there waiting for you to kill animals for them. You had to catch the blood so you could put it on the altar, and you had to circumcise little 8-day-old boy babies. So the priests had a lot of things to do. All right? I'm glad I'm not one of them. I'm glad I'm a believer priest under this. Now then, what happened then? Well, let's look over, if you will, at Luke a little further. And notice in the 39th verse of this same chapter, notice they return to Nazareth after this cleansing of Mary. And they apparently had done that in between because, you see, the days of her purification, she had 30-some days after the circumcision to come back herself for purification at the temple. And there's no way they could have stayed that long in that vicinity. They didn't have motels, they were poor people, and they must have gone back home. All right? And so, if you look over in the 39th verse, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee unto their own city, Nazareth. Now we know for certain that after 40 days after Christ's birth, they were in Nazareth permanently until the angel warned them to flee down to Egypt. They were not in Bethlehem. They were not in Bethlehem. The wise men did not find Jesus in Bethlehem. All right, now let's look over to Matthew, and we'll get the account there. And you're going to find him about 18 months of age. We saw him at 8 days, that's when he was circumcised. At 40 days, that's when Mary was purified for giving birth. And at that time, the child was presented unto the Lord because of the law. Well, not because he was Jesus. They did it to every boy under the law at that time. Okay? It was a custom of the law. It's not for Christians. He'd have been just as godly if he hadn't been dedicated to the Lord. That was simply a demand of the law. Okay? And if you look at Matthew, you'll notice that this was about 18 months. When Christ was about 18 months, when these wise men or the magi came, they didn't come immediately. They didn't come at all immediately. All right, now look very carefully here, and you'll notice in the second verse, these magi come. They come to Herod, and they say, where's the king of the Jews? Not God the Son. They were looking for a human king. They didn't know that he was God the Son incarnate. Not the Bible, you wouldn't know that. They were looking for a king of the Jews. And don't change that to the Savior of the world. They were looking for a political head, a king of the Jews. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now worship wasn't done just to God. I hope you recognize that. In fact, did you see Ben-Hur when it was shown just recently? That was a well-documented historical novel written by the man who was at that time the governor of New Mexico. And he spent most of his 4 years in office not governing the state but researching that book. And he wrote the book. And you had that terrific, terrific chariot race that Ben-Hur was supposed to win. And Pilate got up and put a Stephanos, a victor's wreath, on his brow. You saw that in the Boston Marathon. You saw exactly what Christ is talking about, a victor's wreath, not a crown. Did you see that laurel wreath put on the head of the man that won the Boston Marathon? That's a victor's wreath. That's a crown. All right? They wither. They're not good for very long. All right? Now then, when Pilate put that victor's wreath on Ben-Hur, he said, "We worship you." And that's exactly right. It meant we're giving you the full weight of what you are and what you earned. Now let me show you that worship is used other than of God in Scripture, and it isn't called false worship. People add that, but Scripture never calls it false worship. Look at Acts 10, if you will. Acts 10. You'll find that Cornelius worship Peter. And it doesn't say false worship. It was real worship. Right? Now notice the 25th verse of Acts 10. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Now Peter says, don't do it. But he didn't say it's false worship. He said, don't do it. You're worshiping me. Don't do it. You see? So just because they wanted to worship the king of the Jews doesn't mean that they thought he was God. You understand? All right? Or look over at Revelation, where you have John worshiping an angel. Again, the angel doesn't say, that's false worship. He says, don't do it. You worship God. It's real worship, but I don't deserve it. You worship God. He didn't say it was false. Look at Revelation, and notice the 22nd chapter, verse 8, and notice what the angel says. And I, John, saw those things and heard them, and when I had heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then he said unto me, see that you do it not. Now, he didn't say that's phony, that's false, that's just as empty and false as can be. He just said, don't do it. You worship God. Don't worship me. Worship God. But he didn't say it was false at all. It isn't. All right? It isn't. So men do worship idols. Men do worship demons. All right? And it's real worship. It really is. All right? Now, let's see if we can find that one right off for you. And so you'll get the idea. The reason we're doing this, most people think these wise men came and they said, oh, we know all about the incarnation. We know that God came to earth. We know that he's been born as a baby. We know everything that there is in the New Testament, even though we've never read the New Testament. You see? No, they came to worship a man. That's all. King of the Jews. All right? Now, that blows all these Christmas myths, but they're just a bunch of myths anyway, so it doesn't really hurt. All right? Now, let me see if I can find the one where they... Well, it doesn't say worship. It does say sacrifice and fellowship, which makes up the same. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20. And notice what Paul says. He doesn't say it's phony, it's false. He says it's real, but it shouldn't be. All right, notice 1 Corinthians 10:20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I would that you should not have fellowship with demons. Okay? So it isn't false worship when they sacrifice to demons. Demons accept it as real. Demons accept it as real. They sure do. And they know a little better than you. All right. But when these men came to worship, they were not expecting to see God in flesh. They were expecting to see a king of the Jews. Okay? Now, did it say he's God? Nope. But you put all these Christmas myths. Well, they brought along frankincense. They brought gold. They must have expected God there. I've got news for you. They brought that for any king. It was just expensive gifts. And they didn't read any symbols in it. That's allegorizing type happy Christians that do that. They didn't understand that. Now we'll look at it. He's a big boy now. Uses a different word for him. He's a big boy. And you mothers know that have had children, there's no way you can mistake a week-old baby with a two-year-old child. But why would you kill children up to 2 years old if the baby's only a week old? That's utter nonsense. But it's very difficult sometimes to tell a 20-month-old toddler from a 24-month-old toddler. But there's no doubt you can tell a week-old baby from a 24-month-old baby with your eyes closed, if you're a mother and have ever seen kids. Why did Pilate have them killed from 2 years and down to the age that he expected? He wanted to make sure a little leeway there, but not 2 years. Kid was about 18 months or 20 months old at this time. The word tells us that. We'll see it. And he was back in Nazareth in a house, not in the manger, not in Bethlehem. It says he was in the house. All right? His own house. So some Christmas myths. Bunch of phony Roman Catholic twiddly-dwaddle that we Protestants have bought and believe. Might as well light a candle and carry it too. About the same ilk. All right? Our Father, we love thee and thank thee for the truth of your word, and it doesn't say anything about all this Tommy Rot that people observe and take the place of the real Christ, the real one, the God-man, the one who did come in the incarnation from our point of view, but didn't come the way they say.